Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, students. Welcome to
our... Good day, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review for our course, Personal Evangelism.
Today, we're going to be covering a new course, Bible Ethics, and we're on Session 1 this week. Session 1 is entitled, God Made You What You Are. And so I pray that you have your study guide, your note-taking material to begin this exciting course with us. And this session will help us to know how important that we are as a child of God. It will also help us to know how important we are as a member of Christ's body, as well as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. So I'm excited to begin this next lesson with you, and I pray that you are as well. And as we always encourage you to do, students, we want you to take time now to set your hearts and minds in tune with God for the Holy Spirit to be able to minister to us and through us. We want to ask God to continue to pour His grace upon us, that is the unmerited favor that He gives us each and every day, that we may appropriate the knowledge and the wisdom and the attitudes and actions that He requires of us in order to represent Him in a right way in the earth. So let's take time now, students, before we begin our lesson review, to seek the face of God in prayer. Father, we thank You now. We bless You. We exalt Your holy name. We ascribe worth to You, Father, for You alone are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We declare that You are sovereign and You are God. You're sovereign over every situation. You're sovereign. You're God. You're ruler over every situation in our lives and circumstance. So we bless and we praise You today. We ask that Your Holy Spirit will be upon every person listening to this lesson today, that You will bring healing, that You will bring provision, and that You will bring salvation by Your power, O God, we pray. Hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Students, again, I welcome you to our lesson summary review for the course Bible Ethics. This is one of our courses in our Associate's Degree in Christian Theology program, and we're going to begin session number one today, which is entitled, God Made You What You Are. I want you to say that with me, students. God made me who I am. And so as we go through this week's lesson, we're going to look at these three particular points of who you are in Christ, that you are somebody and that you're somebody special to God. It may have been in your past or in your upbringing or even in your present situations where people may have called you other names and called you other things. And you may have a low self-esteem as a result of the things that people have said to you. The good news for us as we study this lesson is that God has said some things about you as well. And we're going to study these things, and hopefully this course will help you to realize that God made you who you are and that He made you somebody. So let's take a look at the three major headings that this lesson talks about. If you have a blank sheet of paper or note-taking material, the first thing that we're going to talk about is that you are a child of God. You are somebody, a child of God. The second major heading of this lesson is you are somebody, a member of Christ's body. And third, we're going to look at you are somebody, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Did you know that that's who you are in God's eyesight, thanks to God? Well, we pray that this lesson, if you don't know it, will introduce that to you for others, that it will remind you of who you are. So let's take a look at our introduction from our study guide for this week's lesson. I want you to get a blank sheet of paper if you can. And on one side of the paper, I want you to write one word that describes who you are in Christ. Write down one word that describes who you are in Christ. Now, on the reverse side of the paper, I want you to write, how has Jesus changed your outlook on life? I want you to write the answer to that question. How has Jesus changed your outlook on life? So again, on one side, we're writing down one word that describes who we are in Christ, and the other side of the paper, we're answering the question, how has Jesus changed our outlook on life? I want you to think about those things, and in light of the fact, I want you to be able to ponder for a moment. Has your life generally become more positive, more enthusiastic, more hopeful, more at peace, or perhaps more joyful since you have come to know Christ? It is important for us to know and see the change so that we can appreciate what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. It has so many benefits besides the spiritual benefits of our soul salvation. And there are so many other benefits that come for being a child of God, for being a part of Christ's body, and for being an ambassador for the kingdom. Now, here's a portion of scripture that the lesson pointed us to. If you want to make note of it, make note of Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 15. If you haven't already looked at that, take a look at it briefly. And as you do, I want to ask you this question. You see a man named Gideon in that particular portion of scripture, and so what did Gideon think of himself? And if you take a look at verse number 15, you see that Gideon viewed himself as the least in a family that was part of the weakest clan in Manasseh. So let me ask you this question also. In contrast to Gideon's view of himself, what did God think of Gideon? We see where the angel of the Lord that came down says that you are a mighty man of value. So we see that sometimes we can have a view of ourselves based on our situation and our circumstances that is the exact opposite of the view that God has of us. And this is why this lesson is very important, very relevant for us, as well as for those that you will minister to, that God made you what you are, and that he made you somebody, a child of God, a member of his body, and an ambassador of his kingdom. So let's take a look at our first outline, which is that you are a child of God. Now, this first objective asks us to explain what happened to us when we became a Christian. And the first thing that happened to us is that God has began a work in you. God has begun, and in some cases he has already done a work in you. I'd like to refer you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I want you to write down some of the old things that goes away after you receive Christ. On the opposite end of the paper, make two columns, one for old things, make one for new things. So what are some of the old things that left your life when you came to know Christ? Some of the old things that you turned away from. And then write down some of the new things that came into your life or things that you began to do. So write some of these things down, and we have a visual that goes with this part of our lesson, and we'll try to post it on our Facebook page, or if you're studying independently online or by mail, you can contact us and we'll send you a copy of the visual aid. But here's some of the ideas that perhaps some of you have written down in response to this question. Say on the left side of your paper, under the old things that goes, here's some of the old things that perhaps have left your life. Deceitful desires, falsehood, stealing, unwholesome talk, anger, rage, sexual immorality, bitterness, greed, impurity, perhaps slander, disobedience. For some people, maybe foolish talk, drunkenness, pride, coarse joking, an undisciplined life, anxiety, unbelief, obscenity, hatred, or perhaps darkness. These may be some of the old things that went out of your life when you came to know Christ. And then here are some of the new things that perhaps have come into your life. A new heart, truthfulness, working and sharing, thanksgiving, kindness and compassion, holiness, forgiveness. For some people, maybe unselfishness, perhaps righteousness, building others up, obedience, wisdom, filled with the Holy Spirit, humility, joy. For some people, you may be experiencing a new level of self-control and patience, peace, faith, submission, love, and maybe your life seems a lot brighter now. So there should be a change, and there is a change that Christ wants to make in all of our lives, including those that we minister to. So it's good for us to realize that as a child of God, he has brought new things into our life. As the Apostle Paul says in one of his letters to the early church, that old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And so we want to be able to know that God has done a work in us by taking away those old things and by imparting those new things into our life. So here's another question I want to ask you, students. What are you worth? What value do you place upon your life? Well, we see that God thought you were worth his son, Jesus. Jesus shed his blood and purchased you, purchased your salvation. You can look at John chapter 1, verse 14, where you can see that God thought you were worth his son. So I'd like to explain to you that as children of God, we belong to the most important family in creation, and that is God's family. We'll see in one text, Paul wrote to the Roman church, he said, cry out, Abba, Father, for we have been adopted into God's family. Not as a stepchild, but as a true child. Not with secondhand rights or privileges, but as full rights and privileges as a child of God. He says, thereby we cry out, Abba, Father. So on our first objective, we see that we are somebody. We are a child of God, and that God has done a work in us. Another thing about being a child of God is that God has a purpose for your life. He has a reason for you being here. So our second objective asks us to list the three areas of our personal life for which God has a purpose. And you can write down these three areas that we're going to talk about now. The first area that God has a purpose for is your heart. Second thing he has a purpose for is your mind / attitudes. And third, he has a purpose for your actions. So let's talk about the purpose for the heart that God has for us as a child of God. I'd like for you to look up or make note of Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. And in that particular portion of Scripture, you will note that God opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. And each of us is just like Lydia in that God had to open our heart in order to respond to his call for salvation, for his call to us that he would extend peace and grace and love and kindness and acceptance for us. You can also refer to John chapter 6, verse 44, as well as verse 65. And from that text, you'll see that the Father God draws us and enables us to come to Jesus. So what is God's purpose in doing this, children of God? Well, we see that God's purpose is that our hearts remain open so that the seed of the gospel will produce a bumper crop of righteousness in our lives. And this is why Jesus spoke in Matthew 6:33 that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is God's way of doing things. Why? Because you are somebody to God. You are a child of God. Therefore, we should seek to be like him. So that is how we see God's purpose for our heart. Let's take a look at the second one. What is God's purpose for our mind and attitudes? You can look up Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And in that portion of scripture, you would note that it is God's purpose that our minds, as well as our attitudes, be transformed and renewed, to be renewed. We need to be renewed in our minds. So what's the reason for renewing our minds? Well, the reason is so important is that we would know God's will. Because prior to becoming a child of God, our minds were corrupt and we were doing our own will or following the desires of our own flesh. So as a child of God, since he brings new things into your life and he removes old things away, he wants your mind to be renewed so that you can know God's will. The third thing, the third purpose for you as a child of God is that your actions. So I want you to write down this equation if you have a blank sheet of paper. I want you to write this down, for this is a progression that leads up to right actions taking place in our life. The first thing that must take place is that we have a transformed heart, a transformed heart. And if we get a transformed heart, that will equate or result in a renewed mind. And if we get a renewed mind, that would equate to or result in Christ-like behavior. So transformed heart equals a renewed mind. A renewed mind equals Christ-like behavior. So these are God's purposes for you as a child of God. And I also want to highlight the definition of ethics on page 16 of your study guide, which defines ethics as putting your new life into practice in your attitudes and in your actions. That's a simple definition for ethics as we're studying it through this course. And we're studying session one of the course, Bible Ethics, now that God made you what you are. And so the first thing we saw that God made you is that he made you somebody, a child of God. Let's take a look at the second thing that God made us. He made you somebody, a member of Christ's body, a member of Christ's body. So this objective asks us to explain why God has placed you in the body of Christ. So when we look at this first thing, we realize that he has placed us in the body of Christ to be a part of his family. So I'd like to explain that it was always God's plan that his family consists of multiples. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, as well as Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And you will note the phrase that's mentioned in both of these texts of scripture, which says, many sons, many brothers, many daughters or children. So let me ask you this. Why do you suppose that God is interested in bringing many into his family? Well, if we were to look up Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5, we would observe that Paul likens Christians to members of a human body for three reasons. And here are the three reasons why God placed you in his family. One reason is for unity. He knows that each part of his body, just like the human body, is united with the whole. That we may be different parts, but there are no interdependent parts, that is. We're all parts of one body. And that's how God sees us, as a part of his family. Now, we know that in Christendom, we could be separated into denominations and associations and affiliations. But in God's eyes, we are just part of one family with individual parts, but no independent parts. So unity is what makes you somebody in Christ's body. A second thing is mutual dependency. And that means that no part can function properly, let alone to survive, without remaining connected to the body. And this is one of the beautiful benefits of being a part of Christ's body, that you're no longer alone, that you are now connected to others. A third thing about being a member of the body of Christ is headship. And that means that believers are in union with Christ, who is the head of the body. He is the vine, and we are the branches. So we understand thus far that God made us who we are. He made us a child of God. We just looked at now that he's also made us a member of Christ's body. And that means he has placed us in his family. Another thing he has done as a part of his body is that he has a purpose for us in the family. So let me ask you this. Why did God place people in families? Well, some of the responses may include he placed you in families to receive love, affirmation, companionship, sense of belonging, for security, and for support in times of adversity. You see these great benefits that comes for being a member of Christ's body, and that's what makes one of the things that makes us special in the earth as a member of Christ's body. So if you were to think about Hebrews, make note of this, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And as you look at that portion of Scripture, I want you to think about this question. Why is it important for us to take part in the spiritual life of God's family? Why is it important for us to take part in the spiritual life of God's family, or stay connected and be connected to God's family? And we've talked about some of the answers to this earlier. But we need to realize, students, that meeting together enables us to have our physical, emotional, as well as our spiritual needs met. So realize you are somebody. You are a child of God, and you are a member of Christ's body. Now let's take a look at the third thing that you are in this lesson. In addition to being a child of God and a member of Christ's body, you are somebody, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. So this objective asks us to give an example of your responsibility as a believer to the world. So first we need to realize that God has left us in this world. So here's a question that we can think about. What did not happen when you became a Christian? Well, if we read Jesus' prayer to the Father for his disciples that he mentioned in John chapter 17, verses 15 through 16, as well as verse 18, you can also look at Jesus' final words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we will note the answer to that question. We see that Jesus could have taken his disciples out of the world with him, but he didn't. He left us in this world, but he left us in this world for a reason, and that is to be an ambassador of his kingdom. So why didn't Christ take us? Well, because he wanted them as well as he wanted us to be his witnesses. See, it was without the witness of the early disciples, the church, that is the body of believers, the body of Christ, would not have existed. So we want you to think about that Jesus wants us as the body of believers on earth to grow so that we will witness to the love and power of Christ to those who are lost. Did you know that you were this special to God? Well, I pray that this lesson and our future lessons will help you to realize how very important you are to God. Another So now let's talk about the purpose for him leaving us in the world. And I hope you see that in each of these sections, as a child of God, as a member of his body, and as an ambassador of his kingdom, there's a purpose in us being a part of his life and him being a part of our life. So let's talk a little bit about our purpose in the world. This final objective asks us to describe God's purpose for us in the world as an ambassador for Christ. So here's a question I want to ask you. What does an ambassador of a country do? Think about it in the natural sense. The United States has an ambassador. Every country pretty much has an ambassador. And what does an ambassador do? Well, according to Webster's definition, an ambassador is an authorized representative or messenger to a foreign government. So let's note the three key elements in this definition. First, we have been authorized by Christ himself to serve as his ambassadors. You can see a reference for this in John chapter 20, verse 21. Second, a messenger is one who has a message to deliver. As believers and followers of Christ, we have something to say, as well as show the world. Our message is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should preach and teach Christ. We should live Christ to others in the world. And thirdly, the foreign country to which we have been assigned is none other than the world around us, which is enveloped in spiritual darkness and is lost. So as ambassadors of the kingdom of God, our message is as light and our character as salt, and we do not want to lose our saltiness by conforming to the world's value. We are in the world, but we're not to be of the world, for this is not our home. We are simply ambassadors of the kingdom of God in the earth. So one final question I want to ask you, students, is this. What do lost people need to hear most? I want you to think about that. What do they need to hear most? Do they need to hear that they are lost and going to hell, or do they need to hear that Christ has died for your sins and that you have a right to inherit the kingdom of God? And I also want you to think about, what message brought you to Christ? Was it the fear of God, or was it the love of God? And when you think about these things, hopefully God will reveal to you the ways in which we are to represent him in the earth. What attracts people to Christ? And we hopefully will also try to avoid those things that distract people from Christ. So in conclusion, students, I want to challenge you next week to invite someone to listen in to this class. I want you to begin targeting individuals that you want to pray for, that God will enable them to respond to the invitation to come to know Jesus. And I also want to remind all of you that each of us is special in God's sight, that we are a part of his family, and that he has a wonderful plan for each and every one of us. So thank you, students, for allowing me this opportunity to begin this first session of the course, Bible Ethics. God made you what you are, a child of God, a member of Christ's body, and an ambassador of the kingdom of God. I certainly look forward to going through the rest of these lessons with you. In the meantime, God bless you, and good day.